Joe Courtney is a Democrat from Connecticut's 2nd District, a friend of this program, shows up, and that shows he's a friend, a guy who thinks a lot about the stuff. He's a lawyer, he's trained, he's got a logical mind. So I want to ask you about this, the tax overhaul. What are people in Connecticut thinking about that?
So I was at a veterans town hall yesterday morning, actually, to talk about, you know, some VA issues there. You know, they're great guys. They were, you know, members of all the veteran service organizations. And, you know, the day was spent, the session was spent basically sort of a mini town hall on what's going on over at the VA, particularly at the VA health centers in Connecticut. But, you know, we were having coffee and shooting the breeze afterwards. And, you know, this is a group that would tend to be definitely more Republican-leaning, to say the least. And the feedback on the tax bill was thumbs down. I mean, I think people instinctively understand the unfairness of this package overall in terms of, you know, who's going to benefit, you know, what's happening to the little guy. Frankly, there's also a concern about the fact that it's just cutting into the you know, the resources of our nation to do everything from, you know, Social Security, Medicare, but also national defense. And I think that's real. I mean, I think, you know, particularly in a time of growth, add to the deficit is just incredibly reckless and just terrible stewardship for the country. In Connecticut specifically, there's just no question that, you know, the hit on state and local taxes we're I think third in the country in terms of impact that the you know, Joint Tax Committee studied. New York obviously is right up there in New Jersey, and you know, again, the ability to deduct state income tax has been on the books for, you know, over like around 100 years or so, and to just summarily take that away with almost no analysis, certainly no input, you know, from any outside voices and sources. Again, it's one of the reasons why I think the polling shows this instinctive backlash that's, you know, out there to a tax cut bill. I mean, usually, let's face it, I mean, you say you're going to cut taxes, that's almost like a, you know, knee-jerk, automatic, popular, you know, thing to pursue. But in the negative response by the Quinnipiac poll, which showed 2-1 opposition to it, is really impressive to me, because I think people, just as I said, they get it, that you know, that they're going to end up net losers. The National Association of Realtors has done a calculation in terms of home values as a result of passage of this bill. Again, in a state like Connecticut, they're looking at about a 10% reduction in terms of people's the value of your home. Again, that's a combination of losing your state tax deduction, your property, or capping the property tax deduction, and also capping the mortgage interest. And it's just going to ripple through the state in a very negative way. My own personal perspective in terms of Connecticut and states like Connecticut, like New York and others, is that the hits on deductibility for higher education, the making tuition waivers for graduate students now taxable income, eliminating the employee education benefit that employers use sometimes to, you know, help a nurse or nurse's aide become a nurse, and or a metal trades guy become an engineer, taking that away, that really gets to the heart of, you know, what is, I think, the success of states like New York and Connecticut, which still rank in the top of the list in terms of per capita income. It's based on high value skills that translate into higher income. And to pull the rug out from under those kinds of incentives, again, just it goes right against the core of what is defined success in our region. So, you know, Connecticut pays in more than it gets out. I mean, it's about $8 billion a year goes to Washington that, you know, we don't get back net. And the analysis shows that's just going to increase. And again, the same is true of our neighbors like New York, who, again, are donor states as opposed to taker states. And it's a regional hit as well as a class societal hit in terms of the structure of this tax plan. And it's just outrageous and unacceptable. And the process has just been, an insult to the people of this country.
So have the Democrats done what they should do? It seems to me that, you have to keep it simple, as they say. To me, the Democratic outrage should be expressed in the rich are getting richer and you're getting screwed. Have they done enough of that?
Again, first of all, from start to finish in the House, we had 2 weeks of quote-unquote process. And I have to say, I actually think that the team we had on the Ways and Means Committee did a great job. Richie Neal, the ranking Democrat, who's new to that position, really stepped up superbly in terms of the, really crisp, smart leadership and messaging and opposition that he articulated. That translated into the floor. I mean, guys like me, we were chiming in, with floor speeches during, the orders portions of the day, as well as during general debate. We were doing Facebooking live with the Connecticut delegation as a team, which was really a lot of fun. Jim Himes and John Larson and Elizabeth Esty and Rosa DeLauro, we were sort of tag teaming to walk through the provisions of it. And that overall, our overarching message, which you described, which is really, keep it simple, stupid, I think has been the basic theme. Eliminating the estate tax, which benefits 0.02% of the country, at the same time that you're eliminating, you're making college more expensive, by eliminating the interest deduction, the student loan interest deduction, that's a pretty simple sort of contrast that you can sort of walk through for the average middle class family. And I think I think as I said, it shows up in the polls. I mean, people are getting it, and they are even willing to oppose a tax cut bill. Interestingly, this bill is slightly more unpopular than the Clinton tax increase bill that took place in, at the beginning of his administration in 1993. I mean, think about that. The tax cut bill is less popular than a tax increase bill. Again, if you look at the historic polling.
It does make me really scratch my head, Joe Courtney, and try to figure out how this happened. And it was such a screwy process in which nobody got to see the bill. When they did get to see it, they saw changes written in handwriting in the margins. Was there outrage in your party?
Absolutely. And I think, Senator Tester, had probably one of the most viral YouTube videos, in recent years in terms of his, showing vividly how you can't even read the hand scribbled notes that were put into the margin. And as I say, McConnell and Paul Ryan, I mean, the speed with which they're moving, I mean, there is some method to their madness, because they definitely want to get this done before the facts catch up to it and the truth catches up to it. I mean, as the repetition and talking about stuff over and over again is part of, political life these days, in terms of, a country as big as ours with as diverse, a media, and particularly with social media, that, time is the enemy for Democrats in terms of how quickly they've moved on this. But I feel that this is not going to get any better for the Republicans as if this, does make it all the way to the president's desk, that this, I think, is going to haunt Republicans in 2018. As 13 Republicans, and most of them concentrated in the Northeast, had brains enough to vote no on this. And to me, that's another indicator how this is a very different kind of tax bill than in the past. I mean, when the Bush tax cuts were passed, Democrats strayed and voted with the Republicans. The opposite is happening this time. That's, in my opinion, that's a real big, warning flag about what's going to happen to their party in 2018.
Joe, we're out of time for this time, but I want to pick it up right there when we come back the next time. Joe Courtney is a Democrat, Connecticut's sick and beautiful district. He's been in office since 2007. Joe, thanks for being here, and when we come back the next time, we'll have more.
Thanks, Alan.